Hello, and welcome to Learning for Life at Gustavus, the podcast about people teaching and learning at Gustavus Adolphus College, and the myriad ways that Gustavus liberal arts education provides a lasting foundation for lives of fulfillment and purpose. I'm your host, Greg Castor, faculty member in the Department of History. He's one of those guys who I look at as a mentor, both on the court and off the court, commented one senior team member in response to Gustavus Headmen's basketball coach Mark Hansen's announced retirement at the end of this 2021-22 season. He has always been willing to talk with me about life and basketball. In his 32 seasons as head, Coach Hansen became the winningest coach in the history of men's basketball at Gustavus, a run that includes reaching the Minnesota Intercollegiate Athletic Conference, or MIAC, playoffs 21 times, winning the MIAC championship 7 times, appearing in the NCAA Division III National Tournament 11 times, and finishing second in the nation in 2002-03. Just as impressive are the awards of the players he has coached. 51 All-Conference honors among 31 players, 4 MIAC Players of the Year, 13 All-Region honors among 8 players, 3 All-Americans, and 2 Jostens Award finalists awarded to a Division III men's basketball player for achievement in basketball, academics, and community service. No wonder he himself has been named MIAC Coach of the Year 8 times. His coaching success was foreshadowed by his star playing at Gustavus. A 1983 magna cum laude graduate with a major in environmental studies, he holds the team record for points scored, 1,774 in 94 games, earned all-conference honors in each of his 4 seasons, a distinction shared just by 2 other basketball players in MIAC history, and was a 2-time National Association of Intercollegiate Athletics All-American selection. Distinctions he achieved while excelling academically, and that earned him induction as an athlete into the Gustavus Athletics Hall of Fame in 1998. His are indeed big shoes to fill, and I'm delighted he could join me before his retirement takes effect to talk about his paths to basketball and Gustavus, his illustrious coaching career, mentoring students, basketball and the liberal arts, and what comes next for him. So, Coach Hansen, Mark, welcome to the podcast. It's great to have you on.
Well, thank you, Greg. I'm happy to be here.
My pleasure. I really appreciate you doing it. And you persisted. We had some technical difficulties, and we got through it. Nothing compared to coaching, I'm sure. you've had a long, great career, and we'll get into that. But I've asked other colleagues about the pandemic and how that's affected their teaching and also coaching and playing. When I've talked to coaches, how about basketball? Did you lose a whole season in 2020-21?
Not a whole season, but enough to that I think that at least for a couple classes, they felt like they lost a whole season. We had 7 games. Okay. We were supposed to have 11, which would be, even at that, less than half of a season. And I think the stops and starts just made it lose a continuity that is sure. Generally a part of any season.
Yeah. When did the season return to normal? Was that a year ago or?
Really not until this season.
Okay.
Last year we started our 7 games sometime in January. And I think we had individually for our team 2 separate week-long stops.
Okay.
Which is when we lost opportunity for those other 4 games.
Sure.
And by then it was such a disjointed event. The value, however, was that in the short time they were on the floor for practice and or games, I think that's when players felt the most normal through the year.
Oh yeah, I bet. Yeah, that's a really good point. That's an important point. I think Coach Haug and some other people have echoed that, actually. Coach Sheridan, women's volleyball. Yeah, that is a really good point. What, excuse me, did the coaches come together in MIAC to figure all this out, or how did that work?
How did it work? I'm not sure it worked. I would say as conference coaches, we probably had more conversations last year than in certainly in any given year, much less maybe in accumulation of years, because there were times that we were asked what we wanted to do as a group, which doesn't generally happen in a regular year other than our annual meeting. And so as things were happening at the athletic director level and I suppose even, you know, the presidential level, there was input from us or we would contact each other and say, what, you know, should we suggest this or, you know, it was, I think we're all sort of lost in a forest and trying to find a legitimate path.
Sure. At least it sounds like it wasn't kind of a top-down decision. You coaches had some impact or had some voice in it.
I think we had some voice. I think everything ended up being top down, but I would hope that any top down values whatever information they're getting from the people beneath them.
Sure. Yeah. Well, it's we use the word normal, I mean, kind of in a qualified way still, but at least you had what sounds like a more normal season. I want to talk obviously about your career and basketball, but before that, tell us a little bit about you, your story, where did you grow up?
I'm originally from the thriving metropolis of Dodge Center, population of 1600.
Is that near Rochester on the way to Rochester? I feel like I've been through
there. I like to say that Rochester's near us, but yes, it is about halfway between Owatonna and Rochester.
There you go. Yeah. And did you grow up in the town or on a farm or what was it like?
Kind of a little of both. Mm-hmm. My dad was a veterinarian.
Oh, really? Wow.
So I like to think I was a farm kid who grew up in town. I got what I think were the advantages of getting to go out and bale hay and be on a farm a good bit. But no, I lived in town and did all the, all the town kid things that you can do in a town of 1600.
Yeah. My wife, Kate, and I, she's now retired from Gustavus, but I grew up in the Chicago suburbs, south suburbs. So we drove, you know, that we made that drive off and going through there and been to Owatonna and that area. Did your dad go to Gustavus also?
Nope. He's a U of M grad. I had an aunt that went to Gustavus and my dad grew up near here in Winthrop.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. But no, he went to the U, and my mom had a little Hamlin connection. But I stumbled on Gustavus alone, really.
Yeah, well, before we get to that, I assume you played basketball in high school?
Well, certainly. I had a fairly successful. I was an all-state player in high school.
Oh wow!
And actually was recruited somewhat by Division II, and the odd thing is that the level of academics that I was looking for doesn't necessarily spread over the wealth of Division II athletics.
Good
point. And so as I was searching for schools with some idea of wanting to play at the highest level that I could, whatever that actually means, the options weren't many and varied. And I ended up taking a year off between high school and college, I guess a gap year before year became an appropriate term. And I did a month long canoe trip in the Boundary Waters with my brothers and a friend one of my brothers. And then we biked down to New Orleans and lived in New Orleans for a month.
Oh my gosh.
And somehow I landed in Florida working maintenance in a McDonald's overnight. And if that wasn't a way to convince yourself you were going to go to college, and not that there was ever a question I was going to college, that was severely out of my realm.
I first of all, I love these stories because I didn't know that about you, that part. I don't know how many people know that about you, but yeah, so the so-called gap year featuring a lot of canoeing and biking, and we have friends who live in New Orleans. I was just emailing them this morning. I love how it's not always a straight line from high school to college. And then I couldn't agree more. One reason I went to graduate school, certainly not the only reason, was working in some factories, a pasta factory and a, you know, the old paper TV guide factory, the night shift in that one. I thought, oh my God, man, I'm out of here. I can't wait to start graduate school anyway, so I can relate to what you're saying. So what was it about Gustavus? How did you knew, I mean, you had an aunt who went there, it sounds like, but did you know about it from just from proximity, counselors or recruited or?
I do recall the whatever admission counselor that came through when I was a senior, and I actually at one point said I'll never go to that school, you know, for whatever reason. You know, as a 16, 17 year old male in high school, you're not always thinking straight.
Yeah, good point.
And so something wasn't there. And then actually in the midst of that gap year, a friend that was a year behind me, I was home for a short time of that. And he and I decided to visit St. Olaf one day and Gustavus the next. Turns out he went to St. Olaf and I went to Gustavus. And that's really what started it. And then somebody from the athletic department that I knew in high school gave me a call, and I came over and played pickup ball. And quite honestly, that whole process just felt like a process of becoming. I found the place that fit me. And I'm somewhat of the mind is, you know, how do you not like college? But I think there are fits, and yes. This fit me, I think, socially, atmosphere, the kind of people that ended up here. And it turns out it worked very well.
And you're, I want to talk about student athlete, that term, even in a bit maybe, but you were an excellent student. I mean, and you already mentioned the academics were, and I know as a coach, are important to you. So that was part of the fit as well. But did you come with the intention of playing basketball at Gustavus? I mean, how much was that sort of front and center of your decision?
I certainly came with the intent to play basketball. I don't know that. I mean, sometimes it's just the placement of words.
Sure.
I didn't come here to play basketball. I came to school here and played basketball.
Yeah, well said. Yeah.
I think as I went through the process as a senior in high school, it was far more about being recruited. And quite honestly, I didn't like it. And I do recall actually with one of the Division II schools after visiting saying, I liked it okay, but I don't want to sell my soul to basketball. And turns out that I spent my life doing basketball.
But well, you still have your soul, baby.
That's what I'm hoping.
Yeah, I think you do. So when you came to Gustavus, did you already know what you, I mean, I assume not, but sometimes students do know what you wanted to major in. You wound up majoring in environmental studies. And I wonder, that might have been pretty early in that program's history. I'm not sure. But in any case, what drew you to that major?
It was what was left after I took the classes I wanted to take and from the professors I wanted to take from.
Yeah.
And it was choosy that way. I technically didn't have a major until the beginning of my senior year. I took a number of biology classes. I took political science stuff. I was kind of all over the board. And then when push led to shove and there was a, what do you want to major in? None of the majors actually fit the way I wanted them to. There had been an environmental studies major when I started, but it was taken off the books. So as it turned out, I had to write my own major.
Oh, wow.
And ended up having an advisor in three different areas. I had Bob Moline, Bob Bellig, and Norm Walbeck.
Oh, wow. Poli-sci, geography, and biology. Yeah, great.
And at the time, they had they wanted economics to be a part of the environmental studies major, and I had no interest in economics, and just needed to convince them that environmental issues were at least as politically motivated as they were economically motivated. I think we clearly are finding out that they are both, and you can't really distinguish between that.
You have a gift for understatement. Yes, I would say so. I agree with you. That's neat, though. I mean, you were kind of on the, you know, and now, of course, we have such a strong environmental studies program. My colleague David Obermiller is involved in that, my history colleague. But and we'll come back to that, your interest in the outdoors and your own teaching along those lines. I'm curious about, I know it's hard, it can be hard to remember this stuff, but looking back, your undergraduate years at Gustavus, are there particular memories or people that stand out related to playing basketball, related to academics, the social life? I mean, the good, bad, and the ugly, you know, all of it.
There are really lots of them. Certainly, I would mention that all three of those advisors were both advisors, and I would say became friends through the process. And I think appreciated that as an athlete, I was at least as interested in academics. For whatever reason, it popped into my mind that at the time we were still taking four J terms.
Right.
One of my J terms was from Bill Dean, and it was
In
process theology.
Yeah.
And I'm certain it loved his class, at least the third of it that I understood. And if anybody knows Bill Dean, they know that a third is actually, you know, maybe bragging.
That's impressive. Exactly.
And I'm fairly certain that that Bill had not attended probably any athletic events, and I was happy to be a part of him seeing that the connection was actually a good endeavor.
Yeah.
But that class was fabulously challenging and useful. Even now, I still think in process theology kinds of ways.
Mm. Who was the coach? Who was the basketball coach at the time you were playing?
I was fortunate to have, I'll say, two icons. Whitey Skoog was was the coach my first 2 years.
Yeah.
And Bob Erdman was the coach my junior and senior year.
Okay.
And Bob remains a father figure in my life. And I remember walking into his office, going into planning at the end of my junior year. And I said, I don't know if I'm going to play next year. Mm-hmm. And he said, well, what do you want to do? I said, I feel like I'm not getting all the things that, you know, I have friends that get to go someplace for J term or travel abroad for a semester. And he said, well, what would you like to do? And I said, I'd like to spend the fall on the Appalachian Trail. And he was open to that. And, it turns out I was able to do 3 credits of work on the trail and come back. And I was probably, I'm going to say I was maybe 10 days late from the beginning of practice. Maybe it was 2 weeks. But it was, I think it told me, and I'm sure it affected my outlook anytime players talked about challenges and so forth, that I had a person who was willing to say, there's a conflict here and we can work the conflict out and get the best of both worlds.
Right.
So I appreciate the opportunity that I had to do that as an academic endeavor. I think the philosophical piece was probably, far more important in a lasting way.
Do you think, I mean, this is so interesting to me for so many reasons, but one thing, is this peculiar to, I mean, not peculiar isn't the right, is this distinctive to Division III schools, or is it really, really distinctive to Gustavus, especially. I don't know, but I'm always impressed. I've taught a lot of athletes over my 35 years, football players, hockey players, basketball players. By the way, Jeff Owen was in one of my classes, our colleague Jeff in econ management. I don't know. Are you the same vintage or just maybe younger?
He was a member of – he was a junior when I started as a head coach.
Okay. Okay, Jeff reminded me.
I can say that I was at least a small part of recruiting him to Gustavus.
Yeah, he reminded me once. I doubted him. I couldn't remember that he had taken a course with me, a history course, because he was a history major as well. In any case, teaching a lot of athletes, I'm always impressed by the discipline. I mean, that's, you know, there are exceptions, but in general, the discipline, the dedication to not only the sport, whatever sport it is, or sports sometimes more than one, but also the academic. I'm just, is the student athlete, is that really, I mean, that seems alive and well, not just in your case at a place like Gustavus. And I guess what I'm asking is that, how much is that a function of Gustavus, do you think? A function of Division III? I don't know. And you may not know either.
I certainly have an opinion. I think that it is a, I think Gustavus does it very well. I think there are other places that are seen as a certain kind of school, a music school or an athletic school. But I think our level of doing both academics and athletics at a high level. And I would like to believe that the musicians would say the same thing.
Yes.
You know, if there's a weakness, it's that it's difficult to be a musician and an athlete, because there are certainly plenty of people who could do that. But the timing of that is harder.
Right.
I don't know that it's a Division III thing, because there are certainly lots of Division III schools that I don't think have the same academic expectations that I'm going to say at least the top half of our league has.
Sure. Makes sense.
I think when you're a certain kind of academic school, the combination of I'd like to be in athletics and the cost sort of mean that you better do the academics really well.
Yeah.
Because you're not, it's not worth it just to come to play athletics.
Right. That's right. I mean, and you know, I mean, yeah, I couldn't agree more. And I think what you said a while, you said it really well. Gustavus, that's the way you've helped me. Gustavus does it really well. We do it especially well, I think, is a good answer or good opinion. I agree with that. Again, I've been so impressed over the years. In fact, a former student, now a friend, almost a colleague, Mike Jirik, who played football at Gustavus from New Prague, mm-hmm. He went on to get his PhD. And he's just one example, right? And of many in all disciplines, went on to get a PhD in history. And he now has a year-long fellowship at Harvard. And he's already taught at Carleton. He's doing okay. He's a great example of the student athlete that Gustavus, and we attract them and nurture them. So, well, you were one of those student athletes, obviously. But I've read that you was not your intention to get into coaching. Is that true?
Yeah, it is without question true. So I was an environmental studies major, and after my first year after college, I did a 6-month internship at the Environmental Learning Center, which is now called Wolfridge Environmental Learning Center.
Oh gosh, yeah.
And very much saw that as a direction that I wanted to go. I will say that I had a vision that it would be fun to do that at Gustavus, because I felt like the opportunities could be enhanced, that there could be more canoeing and spring break trips and things that some of which Vic Gustafson was doing at the time, but you know, as that was changing as he got to his 50th semester.
Was he the athletic director? I'm trying to remember.
No, he was, he did a little of everything. But when I met Vic, he was teaching the outdoor education classes that then did. But he was a swim coach at a point. I think he coached track and or cross country at some point. I think he did a little of a lot of things, as has been the case with lots of people at Gustavus over the years.
Yeah. So you kind of had this idea that it would be fun to do. How did you actually come to do it if it wasn't your intention?
So I was at Mankato State has an experiential education program, which is a philosophy of education, but it was entered into by lots of people who were outdoor educators because outdoor education is by its nature experiential. And so it was a way for people who did this kind of thing to get a master's degree. And so I was in that with the intent of I think making a career out of that. And Bob Erdman at that point decided to go back to high school teaching, and he told me I should apply for the job. And I think I literally laughed, partly because I hadn't seriously thought about coaching, but more so I wasn't qualified. I had not done anything, in the Phi Ed realm or, the sort of the normal path to being a coach.
Right.
And he again said, I think you'd be good at it. And then when they hired Charlie Brock to replace him, Moose Malmquist called me up and said, we've decided to have a full-time assistant for the new basketball coach. Would you be interested in doing it?
And Moose was the athletic director.
He was the athletic director.
Yeah, I remember. I certainly remember Moose. Sorry, go ahead. So he called you up.
Yeah, and he neglected to say that it was a full-time position at very part-time pay. but I said, sure, I'll try it for a year. And I found that I liked it more about the interactions with players. Basketball to me has been a vehicle. I'm not the coach that just watches basketball all the time because they love watching basketball. It was something that I understood, was reasonably successful at, and was a way for me to, I think, continue teaching education in that manner. And, I have a fairly significant competitive nature. And so all of that led to liking it. And, I look back on it now and 36 years slipped away.
Yeah, it's hard to believe. Wow. I'm my 35th year at Gustavus. I know what you mean, even though I didn't play basketball. You kind of already answered a question I was going to ask about what attracted you to the game. I like what you said, and that may well become the title of this episode. Basketball, to me, has been a vehicle. Correct me if I'm wrong, you had no coaching experience, right, prior to coaching, or did you?
Not really. I had... I think there was a short time in that gap year that I helped my high school basketball coach, for a month or something, but that would have been it. I think I learned as much about being a basketball coach when I worked for Outward Bound as I would have taken classes.
Okay. Yeah, that's interesting. And I'm thinking too that, Bob Erdman, he knew, right? He understood. He was right, obviously. But, some people might say, well, you crazy? This guy has no training, no real experience. But, someone like Erdman knew. That's an important skill or talent as well. So there you are. How long were you an assistant coach?
I was an assistant for 3 years for Charlie Brock. And then he left to go to Trinity College in Texas.
In Texas, yeah.
I applied for the job, and it turns out I came in second. and there was that next year didn't go well, for whatever reasons. And that coach moved on, and they offered me the job after that. And really in different ways, working for those two people who were very different was also valuable for me and in my experience and preparation.
How would you characterize your style, if that's the right word or approach as a coach? I mean, you don't strike me as someone who, and I'm like Bill Dean, I confess, at least I've not, I don't think, I've seen maybe one basketball game my entire, more football than basketball. But in any case, you don't strike me as someone who would be yelling a lot and pacing the sidelines.
And I'm not. I was fortunate to have a pedigree of sorts and a respect that probably made up for the lack of experience. I learned a lot from Bob Erdman, talking to him and working, you know, summer basketball camps. But I guess I sometimes describe it by the things I'm not. I'm not a yeller and a screamer. I don't know that I was especially forceful in some things, but I did have an attention to detail of how I wanted the game played. And we had a nice run of players who fit that picture of how I wanted the game played. And, you know, one of the great compliments over the years is our alumni say they only want to play with Gusties because Gusties play the game right. Huh. And so I think I was fortunate that I, in whatever ways that that I had experience, that my vision of the game, which probably came somewhat from Whitey, probably from my high school coach, Danny Midtoon, and certainly Bob, I was able to allow that to somewhat manufacture itself. And I had players that bought into it. And then fortunately we won enough that it was easy to buy into it when you
win. It's working. How would you describe that vision?
I love when I try to see the game, I like when everybody shares a part of it. Okay. And I would tell recruits regularly that we played motion offense, so there weren't a lot of rules. But that if everybody was involved in for basketball, if all five people touch the ball regularly, and if the shots you take are good shots, that chemistry sort of comes in and of itself because everybody's okay with what happens because they're a part of it. And the final decision, which is generally the shot taken, was one that was acceptable to everybody. It's easier to like how you play.
Sure.
And that, to me, that's how chemistry was built. It wasn't just putting parts together, but it was a style and a mentality. And so I was very much a pass-first coach. I felt like if we passed the ball well and shared it, that we would be difficult to guard. And if we, to me, Gonzaga is by far the most enjoyable team to watch play.
Mm-hmm. I was going to ask you about that. Yeah,
because they share the ball so well. Mm-hmm. And it's about passing. And I think lots of people would even say they sometimes make one or two extra passes that they don't have to. I was accused of that. And I thought, okay, if that's the worst you can say, then I'm okay with that.
Yeah, exactly. They are. I do watch some college basketball, and they are fun to watch for that. Excuse me, for that reason. By the way, I grew up with the Bulls when they were, oh my God, pre Michael Jordan. You know, that was a rough time for me. And what did you play? By the way, I meant to ask that earlier. When you were both high school and Gustavus, did you play different positions? Or
I was certainly I would say in high school it was called center. Terminology has changed more to post. In college, I was probably more of a strong forward. You know, the bigger of what at that time was termed. I would be seen now probably as a four man, and and would probably be playing differently now than I did then, because at the time, 6'5 and 6'6 kids were told they could shoot within about 8 feet and no farther. And that has thankfully changed in lots of ways.
Yeah, wow, that's changed a lot. No kidding. See, maybe we can come back to that, how the game has changed since you played it. But back to coaching. I mean, you know, I've read in preparing for the podcast, I mean, so many comments about it. At the comments echo or confirm what you just said about yourself several minutes ago, which is that it's not just about the game, watching the game. It's a vehicle for you. And I wonder if you could talk a little bit about that part of your job as a coach. I mean, the mentoring part, you know, when the student comes to you and is having trouble or just needs some kind of mentoring, I would think that's a pretty major part of the job.
Without question. And I think it's the most valuable part. And in that way, I believe that's mentoring that's being asked for. I think there's also a whole bunch of mentoring that is part of the process of going through a season and going through careers.
Yes.
And for some, that process is to come to grips with the fact that you're not the star anymore. And for some, and I want to say this right, once they figure out they aren't the star anymore, they will appropriately figure out that maybe there are other things they can do that are better and more important. And so for lots of people, it is a process of going from this was really important to me to this is something I do to this is something I used to do. And now I'm an academician. Now I'm going to be whatever it is that happens. I'm not sure how it happens, but I think people come here not realizing they're leaving in 4 years.
Yeah. Part of it is they fall in love with the place and don't want to leave. Well, but you're right about that. Well, did you go through that process? I mean, when you at all, or were you like, well, I'm done, it was fun, and now I want to do environmental, you know, I want to be up at the Wolf Center. Well,
yeah, I did. I mean, even in the earlier statement about maybe I don't want to play my senior year because I have these other things I would like to do. I was fine being done when I was done. However, I got a phone call early one morning from somebody in Sweden who knew somebody who knew me and asked if I was interested in playing basketball in Sweden, which I hadn't given much thought to, but struck me as a nice way to go see a little of the world or do what I hadn't gotten to do in college. It ended up being a year abroad instead of a semester abroad. It was nice to come back to basketball after being out a year and to play again, knowing that the reason I was playing was so that I could go be in another country for a year.
Yeah.
But it had a fabulous experience.
Again, it was a vehicle for you.
Very much. Yeah. Very much. Was an airplane.
Yeah, exactly. Was that, this is kind of, I suppose, a stupid question, but pro basketball there, or what was it? I mean,
that is not a stupid question.
Okay.
because it's hard to answer. I was paid to play, which I suppose technically makes it pro on my part, but it really was just a living wage. I got an apartment. I got a free bus pass every month. I had enough money to buy my food and live reasonably well. And then when I was done, I had enough money to travel for 2.5 months before coming home.
Well, that's great.
So it really, it wouldn't be important to me that it was pro basketball. You know, some people seem to think it sounds good. The level that I played, which was the second level in Sweden, was was akin to Division III basketball. So in the level of basketball, it certainly wasn't pro basketball.
Okay.
It was pro in that I was paid to play, but I wouldn't call it pro basketball.
It was so interesting to me because, first of all, basketball is not one of the first or top 10 things that come to mind when I hear the word Sweden or think of Sweden, but there you go. Had you taken any, what about language? You hadn't studied Swedish or had you?
I had. I took Swedish from Roger McKnight here at Gustavus. And then, so I had a good beginning knowledge. And then I took Swedish classes in part to fill the days before basketball practice once I got there. It was my intent to learn the language as much as I could. I thought if I was going to be something other than the normal American who expects everybody to talk to them in our language, that I wouldn't have as good an experience. I wanted to learn another language.
Well, there's your liberal arts ethos and drive, whatever you want to call it. That's fantastic. So you come back and we've talked about how you become the head coach at Gustavus. I'm curious about, you've touched on this in talking about your style, but what do you think are the ingredients of a successful coach, recognizing that there are different ways to coach, right? There's no one formula, but I'm curious. I would think, you have to have the respect of the players, but if you had to, you were going to design a successful coach, what would the inputs be?
I think understanding college kids and liking them, realizing that they are certainly adults, but adults who are still, I'm not sure this ever ends, figuring out adulthood.
Right.
And they have some significant skills, dreams, intentions, some of which they are not yet aware of. So I think relating to them as close to a level that it's this odd combination. You're a parent, but you're not their dad.
Yeah.
You're a friend, but you can't be buddies.
Right.
You're a mentor, but kind of on their terms because they're not always outwardly looking for mentoring.
Right.
So you're playing a lot of different roles, and then I think you need to really just like being a part of all that process.
Let me just interrupt quickly. That what you said a few seconds ago is really important, I think, and actually profound, which is it's not just understanding them, it's also liking them and liking what you just said about being part of all that process. And then the kind of fine lines you have to walk, right? Friend, but not buddy, for example. I think that's true of maybe all of us at a liberal arts college, or at least at Gustavus. But I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. Go ahead.
No, I think it is. It's something that's special about what we do, that we are an important part of their experience.
Yes.
And if we don't appreciate the value of that to us and them, then we really should do something else.
Right.
We get a lot of credit. Most of our kids are going to end up doing well, regardless of what we do. We get to sort of just be a part of that continued process.
Right. That's exactly right.
Actually, I think also help them understand that the world's a whole lot bigger than they thought when they were high school seniors.
That, yes, God, yes. And even sometimes, if I have one aspiration for our students, and I'm generally, is exactly that, broaden your horizons. And I don't mean just in terms of travel, but just, yeah, the world is a lot bigger even than Minnesota, right? And then the upper Midwest and et cetera. So hugely important point. Go ahead.
And they don't, you know, it's part of a, you don't know what you don't know. And for me, coming from a small town, I had two brothers that had gone to private schools. I had a little bit of a picture. But I often would tell people in the recruiting process, you don't have any idea of all the things you could do yet because you've seen high school. And so you might love math and have no idea that you could major in math and have no idea at this point what that means you'll do 5 years from now.
That's right.
Because to most high school kids, if you go to math, what are you going to do? You're going to teach math.
Yeah. And no, that is so true.
Not the case.
So true.
And so the potentials, they just don't know the potentials, and it's fabulous to watch them figure that out, be it through a professor or through athletics, or, you know, there's something that they say, oh, I'd like to do that. How do you get there?
Yeah, exactly. You mean I can do that for a career or earn money? Because a lot of students have said that to me. Yeah, I could not agree. You're preaching to the choir here, boy. Absolutely. In my ideal world, you would be prohibited from even having a major, I think, until you're, I don't know, like you, your senior year, you know, just take courses, experience co-curricular stuff, and all will be well if you put your mind and heart to
it. I think that is the liberal arts piece that to some degree we is hard to maintain because, you know, return on investment and, you know, we have lost or, you know, maybe have strayed away from the idea of education being valuable for education's sake.
Right.
And I wish we could get rid of requirements.
Same here.
But still have a manner for people to comfortably take stuff that's out of their interest zone.
Yeah, boy, I completely agree with that. So does my wife, Kate, who went to a small liberal arts college, Bard College, about the requirements. Yeah, completely agree. One day, keep working at it. The and you know, just listening to you, honestly, I mean, you are, and I'm not just saying this because we're podcasts. It's really true, and I say this about all the coaches I've spoken to or know reasonably well. I mean, you know, like Coach Haugen. I mean, just, you know, the liberal arts ethos that you all as coaches exude, if that's the right word, you know how to articulate it. More than that, you believe it. And you've, of course, lived it on your own time at Gustavus, both as a student and now as a coach. I'm wondering also about recruiting. When you go out, partly I'm just curious about that. I remember I asked Coach Haugen about this too. It sounds like you didn't like being recruited, at least being recruited by Division II schools, I think you said, but recruitment is a part of your job, right? I mean, I would think a big part of your job. Are there things you do like about it, don't like about it? And also, what are you looking for? Obviously, you're looking for a player, right, who can become good, very good, if not already. But beyond that, what are you seeking in a player?
Well, there are... The process of recruiting is what I didn't like. And by that, I mean the chase. I could sit in my office and talk to a potential player and their parents and answer questions and do all of that and sell Gustavus. And I never really felt like I had to sell Gustavus. I just, this is who we are. This is what we do. If you walk out of here and you don't think this is the right place, then you're probably right. And you should look for something else. Mm-hmm. If you can spend some time with our players and observe things as they go on, then you're either going to say this fits for me or it doesn't, or it's one of a couple places that could fit. And then you continue to go through the process to whittle that down to the one. to me, the process that I didn't like was the continuous phone calls and going to see multiple games, not to see if they could play, but to have a face-to-face conversation. And really you were letting them know that, that you were interested enough to take 5 hours out of your evening to come and watch them play.
Yes.
And I think that's an absolutely silly way to use humans' time, but it is what we do. And for basketball, there are lots of games to see. You know, a football coach, there's 10 game days.
Right.
For basketball, especially now,
oh my God,
you can potentially go to a game 6 days of the week.
Right. It's crazy.
And again, you're going to have this very short face-to-face contact, and that it never seemed to make sense. And I would say it got worse in the last 8 to 10 years as AAU has become ubiquitous. And you know, so now it's not just during the season, it's during the summer as well.
It's during the summer too. Yeah.
And, I remember getting into my truck in probably early December to go to that first game thinking, oh my God, I can't do this anymore.
That would be hard for me. I mean, all those hours, that definitely would be hard for me. And it's not what you love, right? You love the coaching part. And I mean, it's, you know, the mentoring part. I can understand.
It's the necessary evil.
Yeah. Exactly.
To have, and you asked this earlier, what are you looking for? You're looking for the best players that you can get that fit at Gustavus and want this atmosphere, this style, this whatever it is that they sense when they're here. And, you know, when there's an alumni event, I think, okay, there were lots of wasted hours going recruiting, but how lucky was I to have the players and the alums that did decide to be here?
Yes.
If that could have just been done without the
right.
The many poorly used hours.
Yeah. Yeah. Time is precious for all of us. You know, speaking of recruiting, I don't know, you run this, well, you run it, I believe, right? It's called Gusty Basketball Camp. Is that right?
Gusty Basketball and Leadership Camp.
And Leadership Camp. Okay. And so we have a tennis and life camp and God knows how many other camps, but talk to us a little bit about that. I assume you're going to still do that even when you're no longer the head coach.
Yep. I'm doing that going forward. I think one thing we figure out, we're all year to year or day to day. And so we are, we certainly well into the planning process of this year's camp. And I would hope I can continue doing that for whatever years make sense. It will, for me, be a nice way to maintain a contact with coaches and former players. And it's a process of watching kids learn how to play the game right and hopefully be good teammates. I mean, the leadership piece is really to make sure they know that this isn't just about being a good player.
Right. Is it high school students only?
A majority of our kids are probably between 7th and 9th grade.
Okay.
We have camps. We have an elementary camp, 3rd, 4th, and 5th grade. Our overnight camps start with those going into 6th grade. By the time they're juniors and seniors, the number has whittled down significantly, in part because the number of people that are playing whittles down.
Sure.
And they're often, you know, there are jobs, there are AU, there are other things that are a part of what, you know, they're busy and,
yeah.
And, you know, it could be that summer camp has had its time and they don't need it anymore.
Right. Well, I like the way these camps focus not just on the, I'm thinking of Tennis and Life and now yours that I've read about yours as well, just the way they focus on the, as we like to say, the whole student, right? Not mm-hmm. just not, it's not just about, geez, I sometimes think, thinking out loud to myself, maybe I would have been more of an athlete had I had coaches like you and the others instead of the ones who shouted kill from the sidelines as I lamely tried to play football with a punter's helmet as a linesman. Oh my God. Anyway, that's a whole nother podcast. I know you've got to go teach and I don't want to keep you, but just a couple quick more questions. So the other thing you're going to keep doing, right, is teaching in some of the outdoor education or environmental studies?
At least for the near term, I'm going to keep teaching what I've been teaching, which is canoeing, rock climbing, fly fishing, kayaking.
Oh, wow.
Camping. I hope that we can endeavor to do more things outside of the curriculum. I offered canoeing yesterday afternoon and over 20 people had signed up. They didn't all show because it turns out that finals are coming up and some probably weren't excited about a day on a windswept river. But those that went said, we need more of this. And the same has happened with some other things that we've offered. And so I think there's a lot of need for other things that can excite people, and being outside and active has been something we could do in the pandemic.
Right.
But I think in college they need a little bit of direction because they don't necessarily have their equipment, or it's an activity right. that they at least need some direction to, and then can go off on their own and follow it further.
Yeah, God knows. I you're reminding me. I don't know if I've mentioned this before on the podcast, but my wife and I could use some canoeing lessons. We some years ago decided let's go canoeing on Lake Calhoun. So you know, we rented the canoe, had the life preservers on, and I was in the back, I believe, and the guy pushes us out, and we promptly capsize. And we had our phones and, you know, two city kids from New York and the Chicago suburb. You know what the hell we were doing. But we, you know what? I said, Kate, let's go ahead anyway. Soaking wet, phones wrecked. We just canoed all around all those. It was so much fun. I find canoeing really relaxing. I did it more when I was younger. And you mentioned fly fishing. My brother is a pretty accomplished fly fishing person. I've tried casting without much success. I think it's all cool.
I can help you with both that.
Thank you. All right.
I would be happy to.
Independent study.
And you do actually touch on, it's not just the students. There are a lot of people who would just love to know a little bit more about canoeing because they don't know enough to go out on their own.
Right. No, that's exactly right.
And find
right.
out that it's not just an activity. It's really an art.
Right.
And so much of what some people do seems unattainable, and really they just need a push. Hopefully
that's
not a push that tips them over, but yeah. a push.
No, that's exactly right. It needs to be kind of, I don't know, demystified or something. I haven't tried paddleboarding yet. And I haven't tried kayaking. You mentioned that. I want to try that too. That always looks like fun.
Well, we just bought 4 paddleboards for the school. So,
oh, wow. Okay.
You can,
well, I can start in the swimming pool maybe and see how I do there.
Sure.
All right. One serious question, then just kind of so aside from all that, what do you plan to do? More outdoors activity, more family time. You won't have that pressure, time commitment that recruiting involves and coaching involves.
Yeah. I hope I can revisit for Gustavus and with Gustavus more of that. That other passion of mine. And, you know, the nice thing there is I get to do something I like to do at the same time sharing it with somebody else.
Yeah.
My basketball playing days ended long ago, so that I didn't get to share that. I also want to travel and see some other things. I've loved traveling, and that probably came out.
Yeah, it did. Absolutely. Sure did. Yeah. Boy, I wonder if you could even lead J terms if you wanted to for the college.
Oh, I think that would be wonderful.
Yeah, and you could do that.
I actually have this dream. You might remember Gerhard Alexis.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
I think I have English one prof. syllabus that remains from my my time at Gustavus, and it's his Wilderness and the American Mind class that I think I got a B in and thought I had overachieved because that's who Gerhardt was.
Right. His stand. I didn't know him as a, he was retired when Kate and I came, I think in 86, but certainly know of him. And I've read about him. Yeah. Heard about him from alums who've had him as a teacher. That's cool. Yeah. B, it sounds like a B that we can you imagine. I always think Gerhardt today, I don't know if he'd survive in the current climate.
Without evolving.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's well said. So my other question is, are you a Timberwolves fan? Did you follow them? I have breakfast with some guys once a week, and one of them's an alum, but oh my God, they were just devastated by the Wolves and in the playoffs.
I went through some years as a Viking fan that cried after their last game, and I think over time realized especially as players came and went, you know, that years ago it seemed appropriate to be loyal to the state's team.
That's how I am still. Yeah, exactly.
I am proud to say I am a bandwagon professional sports fan. If they're doing well and I want to go or watch, I will. And I won't lose sleep over it if they don't.
Okay. That's a refreshing and a healthy, outlook. I've gone from a Bulls fan, Bears fan, you know, Chicago. I always think like we need grief counseling. Those of us who try to follow Minnesota sports, except for the Lynx, they're awesome. I love going to that.
We need to care a little less.
Or we need to care a little less. Yeah, there you go. You should have been a psych major, I think. Actually, you know, you're psychologist. This has been really fun, a pleasure. I know you got to go, and I don't want to keep you. So thanks so much. Best of luck with the transition. At least you're not making a full complete exit from Gustavus, which sounds to me is the right way to go. Yeah. So take good care.
Let me know when you and Kate want a canoe lesson.
Oh, I will. That would be fun. Yeah. And I really, really enjoyed the conversation. Really, really enjoyed it. Thanks so much, Mark. Take care.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Learning for Life at Gustavus is produced by J.J. Aiken and Matthew Dobosensky of the Gustavus Office of Marketing, Gustavus graduate Will Clark, class of 20, who also provides technical expertise to the podcast, and me. The views expressed in this podcast are not necessarily those of Gustavus Adolphus College.